Living a busy, full life? MitoQ is a science-based cell health supplement that helps your cells generate renewable daily energy. Discover more at MitoQ.com. That's MitoQ.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Our friend, Kanata Edwards, at Not of the Scribe on X, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, sir. I know you you work college basketball with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. What do you have a read on conference expansion? Because I brought it up in conjunction with the Big East, which hasn't been Eastern Conference really, at least in, not
anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean it's been more two time zones. They have just collected a bunch of really good basketball programs, even though Creighton and Marquette and Butler aren't in the East. Do you have a read on what the ACC is going through?
I do. My one thing is, because I'm pretty sure you read the same thing from David Thiel, that SMU was one of those teams that they were like, we want to get in such a big conference so bad, we're going to forego a full membership stake, even a half membership stake. They're willing to bet on themselves. To me, that's the team you go at. That's the school you go after. Because that team in that market and that kind of want to, that's only going to pay dividends for you, especially if we're talking TV money and they just want to be in there. They just want to be in altogether.
Right.
So for me, SMU is the logical play for me. That would be the thing. That's the school I would go after. And you'll figure out your 14 school. I know no one wants UConn there because, again, UConn is basketball only. And you don't have to pivot to basketball only yet. Because if I'm not mistaken, only the women's contract comes up, I want to say, in the next year and change. Yeah. Now, granted, that's going to matter, too, at some point, because that's going to get a significant pay bump from whoever decides to pay for that. But for me, SMU should be the play for the ACC, and then we can figure out the rest later.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, putting your games on in California should matter. I don't know why that doesn't matter. It's the most populous state in the country, so why not have your games? I understand Stanford and Cal don't necessarily move the needle. We're not that far removed from Stanford spending about 5, 6, 7 years among the best in college football. So it certainly can be done there. Hasn't necessarily happened with David Shaw. It makes you wonder what the heck Jim Harbaugh was doing, because he was doing it right when
the less said, the better on that, because clearly the NCAA is mad at him still over a cheeseburger.
No, they say it's not about a cheeseburger. They say it's not about a cheeseburger. I don't think it is. I think it's about he broke a lot of recruiting and practice rules, and they're just going to try to make an example of him because he lied. But as it turns out, it's going to be another year before that even happens. I mean, people can read that story by really going after him hard. They're basically going to allow him to coach this year, where Michigan has a team that might just win a national championship, and then after this year, I bet he leaves and the NCAA gets nothing against Jim Harbaugh. Let me ask you about the James Harden. Kanata Edwards, at Not of the Scribe on Twitter, is joining us here. So we played the clip from James Harden, who says he called Daryl Morey a liar and said, I'll never be part of an organization that he is a part of. He didn't forget that Daryl Morey is running the team that he currently plays for?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't forget. I think the only thing that bugs me about this, now mind you, we have to play this out, because first things first, this is in Shanghai, China.
Right.
And mind you, again, China is where they really don't like Daryl Morey. We have to remember about the Hong Kong tweet and everything else like that, where Daryl Morey tweeted this while NBA players were over there trying to promote the game, and Daryl Morey escaped all kinds of accountability and left LeBron and the Lakers to handle it at that point. So we have to remember that portion of all of this. There's also the fact that apparently his agent was not a fan of him saying this in front of the Chinese children. Third, this is a youth camp he's doing this in front of.
Why did it come up?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did one of the kids go, hey, James, what are your thoughts on Daryl Morey? Well, did that happen?
I'm assuming that they asked him where he was going to play because they weren't sure. And then James Harden took that point to be like, okay, I'm just going to let them know I am not coming back to work. He treated this like he was one of those people checking the like doing security for Walmart. He's like, yo, I'm going to hand in my blue vest and I am done working this place. That's what he essentially said. That's what he did. And then had the nerve to say any more questions. Like there was going to be anything else anyone wanted to ask him right after that.
Unbelievable. Kanata Edwards is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Again, I mean, there's no trade value. I mean, there's just no trade value for James Harden. He clearly doesn't want to be there, and they still haven't moved him, although maybe Daryl Morey just has an infatuation, which, I mean, I understand. He played very well when Morey was running the Houston Rockets. Let me ask you about Team USA in the World Cup, which is starting at the end of the month. So they shoot 67% from the field. Jalen Brunson was 9 of 9 for a game-high 21 points in a 10-point win over Spain, but pulled away. They did not yield late. They pulled away and shot 67% from the field. Why does that frighten me about this tournament and Team USA?
I don't know. Like, I feel kind of, like, the funny part is I kind of feel better about their backup backcourt than I do their starters. Like, think about it like this. Anthony Edwards is playing one of the best, like, is playing like he's going to be a top five guy sooner than later.
Right.
He's playing like that. And yet I love the Austin Reeves, Tyrese Halliburton backcourt that causes so much chaos and, quite honestly, plays Steve Kerr-style basketball where five out. This team, and mind you, this is a bunch of the young guys. This is not even any of the established guys. Like, they have, this is one of the most interesting teams and fun teams I've seen play Team USA ball in quite a while, and they may get pushed, but at the same point, if Giannis isn't going to play, if Luka is probably not going to play, this team should do some significant damage, and the world's caught up with the NBA, with the American players, yada, yada, yada. All that rigmarole will stop.
All right, well.
And you know what? I'm here for it.
All I'm going to say is that they shot 67% and only won by 10, and it was a two-point game entering the fourth quarter when they went on like a 9-0 run or something to kind of.
They're young.
They are young. And by the way, Spain has a bunch of guys named Hernan Gomez. I don't know how many they have. I don't know if there's a limit.
They're Spanish sellers. Again, they're the Spanish sellers.
All right. So, Kanata, you are based in Charlotte, North Carolina. So my theory as to why Panthers fans are so mad at the result and the way it looked in a 27-0 preseason loss to what amounts to the preseason version of the Kansas City Chiefs, the Jets, who are under Robert Saleh, are 6-1-1 in games that don't matter. My theory is that this year, with the number one overall pick at quarterback, they won the coaching staff lottery, and coming off of what they had before in terms of Matt Rhule and all that run of quarterbacks that have just been very forgettable, that there's so much optimism going into this season that they couldn't get past the disappointment of a preseason game, and that they have raised their own expectations probably to an unrealistic level, and that the disappointment of 27-0 is too much for them to overcome.
Well, I think you're partially right. I mean, I've been watching Panthers Twitter. I've been listening on occasion. People think the season is over. People think that there's a reason to panic. And granted, the offensive line did not look good. I will grant you that.
Right.
Bryce Young did look competent when he had time, which wasn't often. There's a lot of this stuff to where it's a conditioned response in Charlotte with Charlotte sports, period, just to bite down on the negative. It's a learned helplessness, unfortunately. Granted, the professional sports teams have not given us much reason to evolve out of that learned helplessness. So I understand to an extent. But at the same time, like, at some point, a chair can just be a chair. And it can just be one thing that, you know, you don't like the chair. You can get rid of the chair. You can say, you can, you don't have to get philosophical about what's going on in a 27-0 loss at the point where this is the first week in the Frank Reich regime where you can essentially say, hey, we got our teeth kicked in. This is a lesson we're going to have to learn. So, again, we'll see how they do. We'll see how they adapt. I'm perfectly fine with how, again, Bryce Young looked okay, especially, like, the only thing, if you wanted to take one thing out of it, the offensive line needs work. But you look around the league and you see all these preseason games, what's the one thing that stands out? Lack of offensive line play up and down the league. Yeah. So the Panthers are just like everybody else. So go figure.
So I think the other thing is that it was clear that the Jets really wanted to win. Their defensive line was stunting. They had edge rushers, outside linebackers involved in the pass rush. To them, it was like middle of September, not the middle of August. It was also their second game. So, again, offensive line was the – actually, I think both lines of scrimmage, the Jets won.
Yeah.
Am I panicking over that? No. But I just think that there are a lot of people who are just ready for the last 4.5, 5 years to be over.
So. Well, I agree that everybody's ready for this to be over. Yeah. Because, let's be real, we found out that ownership comes with a learning curve.
Yes.
He hired a guy that was clearly incapable of doing the job at the pro level. Yeah. We'll see in September if he's capable of doing this at the college level. Like, there's a lot of this to, I understand, where you just want to burn the last 4 or 5 years and you're placing all of your hopes. But as even Frank Reich said, they intentionally played vanilla.
Yeah.
Where you brought up the Jets basically brought every regular season thing that I'm sure will never get used against them in the regular season. Because, Lord, no, that again, teams don't study film in the preseason to understand tendencies or anything like that. No, not at all. So I'm kind of with you where I just feel bad for the folks that have the learned response of helplessness and think, here we go again, instead of saying, yo, you know what? This is the first of probably at least a 3-4 year excursion with Bryce Young and Frank Reich. Let me go in with no expectations. Maybe have a few more expectations next year, but not next year, but next week. And just go along for the ride. This is supposed to be fun. You're not the one with the expectation to win the South.
What are you talking about? It's not fun.
I know.
This is serious stuff. Look, it's vanilla versus chubby hubby in the first preseason game, and hopefully the Panthers will bring Rocky Road. I don't know. I'm not even sure I like Rocky Road.
That's chocolate chip cookie dough. We'll settle in again. It's vanilla ice cream. But you have the occasional, like, bits of chocolate chip cookie dough that make it worth it for you.
There you go. Kanata Edwards, at Not of the Scribe on X. Hey, thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
You got it.